Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 30th of June 2008, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear how nanorods are making watched pots boil faster than ever before, how a Klingon-style cloaking device is closer than ever thanks to nanotechnology, and we'll hear about a new nano scalpel that is making surgery more accurate than ever. In this week's Azo Nano interview, Cameron Chai catches up with Duncan Cooper from Surrey Nanosystems to find out what exciting developments are taking place in the semiconductor industry. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. The odd behavior of a molecule in an experimental silicon computer chip has led to a discovery that opens the door to quantum computing in semiconductors. The researchers describe how they've created a new hybrid molecule in which its quantum state can be intentionally manipulated, a required step in the building of quantum computers. Up to now, large-scale quantum computing has been a dream, and although researchers say this development may not bring us a quantum computer 10 years faster, it's made their dreams about these machines more realistic. Until now, the challenge has been to create a computer semiconductor in which the quantum state could be controlled, creating a qubit. If you want to be able to build a quantum computer, you have to be able to control the occupancy of the quantum states. Researchers say that they can now control the location of this electron in this artificial atom, and, therefore, control the quantum state with an externally applied electrical field. Whoever penned the old adage, "a watched pot never boils," surely never tried to heat up water in a pot lined with copper nanorods. A new study from researchers at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute showed that by adding an invisible layer of the nanomaterials to the bottom of a metal vessel, an order of magnitude less energy is required to bring water to boil. This increase in efficiency could have a big impact on cooling computer chips, improving heat transfer systems, and reducing costs for industrial boiling applications. The unexpected increase in boiling efficiency seems to be the result of an interplay between the nanoscale and microscale surfaces of the treated metal. The researchers found that by depositing a layer of copper nanorods on the surface of a copper vessel, the nanoscale pockets of air trapped within the forest of nanorods feed nanobubbles into the microscale cavities of the vessel's surface and help to prevent them from getting flooded with water. This synergistic coupling effect promotes robust boiling and stable bubble nucleation, with large numbers of tiny, frequently occurring bubbles. For 5,000 years or so, the only way to shape metal has been to heat and beat. Even in modern nanotechnology, working with metals involves carving with electron beams or etching with acid. Now, Cornell researchers have developed a method to self-assemble metals into complex nanostructures. Applications include making more efficient and cheaper catalysts for fuel cells, and industrial processes and creating microstructured surfaces to make new types of conductors that would carry more information across microchips than conventional wires do. The method involves coating metal nanoparticles with an organic material known as a ligand that allows the particles to be dissolved in a liquid, then mixed with a block copolymer, which is a material made up of two different chemicals whose molecules link together to solidify in a predictable pattern. When the polymer and ligand are removed, the metal particles fuse into solid metal structures. Scientists at Harvard's School of Engineering and Applied Sciences, collaborating with researchers from the German universities of Jena, Göttingen, and Bremen, have developed a new technique for fabricating nanowire photonic and electronic integrated circuits that may one day be suitable for high-volume commercial production. While semiconductor nanowires can be easily synthesized in large quantities using inexpensive chemical methods, reliable and controlled strategies for assembling them into functional circuits have posed a major challenge. by incorporating spin-on glass technology used in silicon integrated circuit manufacturing and photolithography, transferring a circuit pattern onto a substrate with light, the team demonstrated a reproducible, high-volume, and low-cost fabrication method for integrating nanowire devices directly onto silicon. Now you see it, soon you might not, according to researchers at the University of Illinois. In computer simulations, the researchers have demonstrated an approximate cloaking effect created by concentric rings of silicon photonic crystals. The mathematical proof brings scientists a step closer to a practical solution for optical cloaking. In October 2006, an invisibility cloak operating in the microwave region of the electromagnetic spectrum was reported by researchers at Duke University. In their experimental demonstration, microwave cloaking was achieved through a thin coating containing an array of tiny metallic structures called ring resonators. To perform the same feat at much smaller wavelengths in the visible portion of the spectrum, however, would require ring resonators smaller than can be made with current technology. To avoid these problems, researchers came up with the idea of using a coating of concentric rings of silicon photonic crystals. The width and spacing of the rings can be tailored for specific wavelengths of light. Researchers have identified a signature for water inside single-walled carbon nanotubes, helping them to understand how water is structured and how it moves within these tiny channels. This is the first time researchers have been able to get a snapshot of the water inside the carbon nanotubes. Single-walled carbon nanotubes offer the potential to act as a unique nanofiltration system. While experiments have demonstrated extremely fast flow in these channels, it's still unclear why, and few studies have experimentally probed the detailed structure and movement of the water within nanotubes. Researchers used a technique called nuclear magnetic resonance to get a glimpse of the water confined inside 1 nanometer diameter single-walled carbon nanotubes. The confined water exhibited very different properties from that of bulk water, and this allowed it to be distinguished in the NMR spectrum. Carbon nanotubes have long been touted for their superior thermal, mechanical, and electrical properties, but this work suggests they can be used as nanoscale water filters. Using an ultra-fast method of measuring how a transistor switches from the off to the on state, researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology recently reported that they've uncovered an unusual phenomenon that may impact how manufacturers estimate the lifetime of future nanoscale electronics. As semiconductor devices reach nanoscale dimensions, accurately measuring the device reliability becomes more important because of new materials, new structures, high operating temperatures, and quantum mechanical effects. To date, researchers say transistor manufacturers only consider the accumulation of positive charges to predict the longevity of their microelectronic devices. But as these systems get smaller and smaller, the electron trapping phenomenon observed by the researchers will need to be considered as well to ensure that transistor lifetime predictions stay accurate. Research will now focus on developing and refining the ability to measure that impact. Materials scientists at the National Institute of Standards and Technology have developed a process to build complex three-dimensional nanoscale structures of magnetic materials such as nickel or nickel-iron alloys using techniques compatible with standard semiconductor manufacturing. The process could enable whole new classes of sensors and micro-electromechanical devices. The NIST process is a variation of a technique called damascene metallization that is often used to create complicated three-dimensional copper interconnections, the wiring that links circuit elements across multiple layers in advanced, large-scale integrated circuits. Named after the ancient art of creating designs with metal-in-metal inlays, the process involves etching complex patterns of horizontal trenches and vertical vias in the surface of the wafer, and then uses an electroplating process to fill them with copper. The high aspect ratio features may range from tens of nanometers to hundreds of microns in width. Once filled, the surface of the disc is ground and polished down to remove the excess copper, leaving behind the trench and via pattern. The University of Texas at Austin has developed a laser microscalpel that destroys a single cell while leaving nearby cells intact, which could improve the precision of surgeries for cancer, epilepsy, and other diseases. Femtosecond lasers produce extremely brief, high-energy light pulses that sear a targeted cell so quickly and accurately the laser's heat has no time to escape and damage nearby healthy cells. As a result, the medical community envisions the laser's use for more accurate destruction of many types of unhealthy material. These include small tumors on the vocal cords, cancer cells left behind after the removal of solid tumors, individual cancer cells scattered throughout the brain, or other tissue and plaque in arteries. A commercially available femtosecond laser system and microscope was developed recently for LASIK and other eye surgeries, but the system's bulk limits its usefulness. This new device has overcome technological challenges to create a microscope system that can deliver femtosecond laser pulses up to 250 microns deep inside tissue. The system includes tiny, flexible probes that focus the light pulses to a spot size smaller than human cells. In this week's AzoNano interview, Cameron Chai speaks with Duncan Cooper from Surrey Nanosystems to find out what exciting developments are taking place in the semiconductor industry.
This is Cameron Chai from AzoNano, and today I'm speaking to Duncan Cooper, who's the Director of Sales and Marketing for Surrey Nanosystems. How are you doing today, Duncan?
Very well, thanks, Cameron. Nice to talk to you.
It's been a while since we spoke, Duncan. It was actually November 2007 at the Boston MRS conference. At that time, you just signed up a new US sales representative. So what's happened since then?
Well, we've been expanding the company's reach. Since then, we've signed representatives and agents in China, Singapore, India, Italy. We've been lucky to go on some trade missions organized through the UK. We've had good UK support from UK Trade and Invest, so thanks for that. We work closely with the Knowledge Transfer Network. Dr. Martin Kemp runs that in the UK, so we've been on trade missions to Germany and Canada. We've also had a very interesting show in Japan with Nanotech in Japan. We intend to follow that up with our Korean agent, who's recently been appointed, and we're going to be at Nanotech Korea in August, at the end of August, too.
What about system sales? You've got quite a few exciting products for the nanotechnology industry. How have your system sales been going lately?
System sales have been going well. We sold some sputtering systems in Europe recently. We've had, again, you know, good support from the folks in Europe on that, though the system sales have been direct. And that's quite exciting for us. So, you know, we're selling systems, we're expanding the company's reach. It's very good for us. So, as you know, we've got a range of systems that we offer. It's not just sputtering systems we do. We also have a couple of very interesting tools for growing carbon nanotubes, silicon nanowires, looking at a number of markets. We have a tool called the NanoGrowth tool, NanoGrowth 1000N. It's a PECVD carbon nanotube growth system, and we also have a nanogrowth catalyst tool, a system that allows you to do in-situ sputtering for catalyst deposition, and allows you to transfer the substrate into a chamber for PECVD carbon nanotube growth. The wafer or substrate doesn't see anything other than high vacuum atmosphere, so you don't get oxidation or contamination. You get excellent repeatable carbon nanotube growth as a result, so it's something that's exciting people.
So you said you've been getting some good support in the UK to promote your products worldwide. Is there anybody there you'd like to give a plug to?
Oh, certainly. As I mentioned earlier, Dr. Martin Kemp at the Knowledge Transfer Network for nanotechnology. The folks at UK Trade and Invest have been very helpful to us. They said we've been on a couple of trade missions. Those were extremely useful, both Canada and Germany. And also good support, of course, from Nanotechnica and Dr. Steffi Frederick. So I'd like to acknowledge them and say thanks to them for their help and support.
So it sounds like you've been to quite a few trade shows of late. What industry trends have you noticed in your travels?
Well, certainly the one in Japan was fascinating. Nanotech Japan was very interesting for a number of reasons. Attracted a very wide audience of people from the USA, but predominantly people from Korea and Japan. And we saw that all the major semiconductor companies that were represented there and had stands there or that were interested in talking to us there were talking about the functionalization of carbon nanotubes into semiconductor devices. It's certainly a reality. It's not somebody's fantasy. It's not something out of popular mechanics. Perhaps no disrespect to that publication, but it's not a science fiction project. It's real now. And if you looked at the major companies that had stands there, you looked at their presentation material on their stands, All of them are now talking about the functionalization of carbon nanotubes, either as copper interconnect replacement in dual damascene processes, possibly in through silicon vias. It's an exciting topic that's gained a lot of attention, and there's possibilities in low-k dielectric materials. And we see that people are interested in using this technology in solar applications, in MEMS. There's a whole variety of applications, but just the immediate demand from the semiconductor industry to meet the needs of 32 or probably 22 nanometer production, it's very strong, it's very real. It's something the semiconductor industry is very engaged with.
So you have products to meet the needs of the semiconductor manufacturers in that respect?
Well, we certainly do for their R&D efforts, and that's what our tools are aimed at. As a company goal, what we aim to do is to integrate our technology and work with major semiconductor equipment companies and integrate our technology into high-volume manufacturing environment. That's something that we talked about from the very beginning. It's a goal for the company, and it's something that we're working towards.
What about the health and safety aspects associated with carbon nanotubes? There's been a bit of press in the last few years about the possible toxicity of carbon nanotubes. What's your position on that, and how do you guys deal with that bad press and the bad publicity that carbon nanotubes receive?
Well, it's a very real subject for the industry, and it's something that has attracted a lot of attention in the press. It's certainly something that we're very conscious of. We do have a strong health and safety attitude and policy, indeed, in the company. It was one of the first things we did, was to have a health and safety policy on this subject. It is something that is in the press and therefore in the public mind. The semiconductor industry, I have to say, is certainly very conscious of health and safety. There's certainly companies that I've dealt with in the past that have led, I think, in the field of health and safety, Intel being one of them. There's others. Of course, DuPont was a leader in the chemical field. And, you know, as a company, we're very conscious of it. We're not a bulk producer of carbon nanotubes. And I suppose, without sounding in any way relaxed about it, you know, the bulk producers of tubes have more issues to deal with because they are making them in bulk. We make carbon nanotubes in very small quantities in a very controlled environment. We aim to integrate them to the internal workings of a silicon chip, so it's buried inside silicon. That doesn't mean that we don't pay attention to it, far from it. But, you know, the semiconductor industry has to deal with all sorts of unpleasant chemicals that kind of don't often get spoken about, and I guess they don't always like to talk about, but it's not much more aggressive than, let's say, hydrofluoric acid or something like that. Dealing with silane that explodes on contact with air. So, you know, dealing with dangerous gases, dealing with dangerous chemicals is something that at least the semiconductor industry is very familiar with. And, you know, the industry association that we predominantly deal with, Nanotechnica, led by Dr. Steffi Fredericks, is very strong on those issues, very conscious of them, and speaks of them often. So we're kept well abreast of those issues.
Well, it sounds like you're very aware and prepared in that respect, and you've taken lots of positive steps to address the potential problems in that area.
I'm very conscious of it. We have to be responsible in those areas. It's something that we have to start out on the right foot with from the very beginning of the company. So we hope we do a good job of that. We try to.
And where do you see Surrey Nanosystems going in the near future? And what do you see Surrey Nanosystems being able to offer in the longer term as far as products that you might be able to offer and technologies available for consumers?
Well, we certainly hope that technology that we've helped develop will find its way into the next generation of devices. We believe that our systems are very appropriate for R&D work into those areas. We aim to expand beyond the R&D field and take our technology into a high-volume manufacturing environment. There is, as I've mentioned, a fair deal of buzz around that in the industry now, and it's something that the industry wants, needs, desires, and has to have working to power the next generation of semiconductor devices. There's possibilities for carbon nanotubes in many other areas, but we're semiconductor guys predominantly, and that's the area where there's an immediate demand, and it's something we're very focused on. Next place you'll see us turning up is going to be at Semicon West. We will be there. Our American agent has a stand there. We'll be participating in that show enthusiastically, and I'm looking forward to going back to Semicon West. I haven't been there for a few years now, and looking forward to taking part in the show. Shortly thereafter, we'll be at Nanotech in Korea, which should be a very interesting show as well. Korea's a very fast-expanding area and has a lot of semiconductor industry, so looking forward to being there.
All right, then. It sounds like if there are any people out there, in particular semiconductor manufacturers, who are looking to integrate nanotechnology and carbon nanotubes into their products, they should speak to you guys. Although it sounds like with all your upcoming travels, you could be a little bit difficult to catch, although they should be able to catch you through the Surrey Nanosystems website.
They can certainly get me through that. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm not sure which, we live in the connected era, so I seem to be online all the time and my mobile's never off. So if you need me, you can find me, as you well know.
Okay, thanks for your time, Duncan. We look forward to speaking to you in the near future, as we know you've got some exciting things coming up, and we look forward to bringing those new developments to the AZO Nano community in due course.
I look forward to talking to you about it in more detail in the future, Cameron.
Okay, thanks very much, Duncan.
All right, cheers now. Bye-bye.
AZO Nano Business News. Industrial Nanotech Incorporated, an emerging global leader in nanotechnology, announced today that its Chinese distributor, North Star Power Engineering, has begun working with a major Asian automotive manufacturer to trial the company's patented NanoBoost automotive parts coating for heat control and increased fuel efficiency. DeBiotech and ST Microelectronics today introduced first evaluation prototypes of a unique miniaturized insulin delivery pump. The tiny device can be mounted on a disposable skin patch to provide continuous insulin infusion, enabling substantial advancements in the availability, treatment efficiency, and the quality of life of diabetes patients. The breakthrough nanopump, which relies on microfluidic MEMS or microelectromechanical systems technology, has successfully passed initial testing stages and is now ready to enter volume manufacturing. JPK Instruments' new nano tracker, optical tweezers, and 3D particle tracking system delivers live cell imaging at a new level. With the nano tracker, the user can trap and track particles from several micrometers down to 30 nanometers, with the ability to control, manipulate, and observe vesicles, endosomes, gene and drug spheres, viruses and bacteria, nanoprobes or carriers, biomarkers, or even whole cells in real time with nanometer precision. This opens up new applications in many different disciplines, including biophysics, biochemistry, cellular and medical research in microbiology, developmental and system biology, infection research and immune response, toxicity of nanoparticles, and many more. The UVCell RM from Hariba Joban Yvonne Thin Films extends the capability of the UVCell with a new independent reflectometry module that can be mounted on the UVCell goniometer. The low-cost RM module is available either as an option or as an upgrade for all current models of the Visible and NIR UVCell spectroscopic ellipsometers, as the module is simply connected to the xenon lamp and monochromator of the UVCell via two optical fibers. The UVCell Plus RM is simple to operate using the Delta Psi 2 acquisition system and benefits from the large materials database and powerful analysis features of the software. For difficult applications, it's possible to bind both ellipsometry and reflectometry measurement for the analysis of a sample. Gaining momentum from recent orders and installations, SP3 Diamond Technologies Incorporated, a leading supplier of diamond film products, equipment and services, today announced two new orders for its Model 650 hot filament chemical vapor deposition diamond reactor. The first order was received from the India Institute of Technology, Madras, which will install one system as part of the expansion of its Nano Functional Materials Technology Center. The second order comes from an unnamed Japanese manufacturer. Well, that was AZO Nano News for the week commencing the 30th of June 2008. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To read expanded versions of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.